Sitting down with me at KETR today is a fascinating and multifaceted individual known for her award-winning singing and songwriting, but also for so many other things like her film scores, her acting, multi-instrumental talent, and music production. She is a eighth-generation Texan. She graduated from Arts Magnet over in Dallas, later moved to New York City to study music composition, and just released her new EP, Ugg. And I think I'm saying that right. My guest is going to be performing on Sunday at the Kessler with Claire Morales and
Bonomo.
See, I am so hip. I know everything about music. I just want everybody to know that I am on top of every single music artist in the world. While she's back home here in Texas, I'm excited to spend some time with Tiger Darrow. Welcome to the KETR studios.
Thanks for having me.
I've never been able to talk to you before, but I did want to point out that you have a great promoter in your uncle, Alan Hayslip.
He's pretty awesome. Yeah, I'll keep him. He's fine.
Oh, good, good. Because it was through playing his recordings as Bone Dome that I was introduced to your early work back in the 2011 era on the You Know Who You Are record, and I've been a fan ever since.
Gosh.
So got to give kudos to Alan. I got to meet him one of these days, too.
Yeah, he's the best.
And in fact, I saw, of course, as you were coming back home, that he's been out posting posters for your show.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, he and his girlfriend Melody are my street team right now. Okay. It's amazing. I don't know why my family's so nice to me. What's happening?
Did they call it bill posting, I think is what they used
to
call it?
I think so,
something.
Yeah.
It's kind of a foregone thing, but anyway, it's good to have a family that supports you, and I know your whole family supports you, of course.
I'm very
so
lucky, yeah.
Glad that you're able to get back here and you know, reunite with family and friends and everything. Listen, I know you're only back in Texas for a short spell, but you know, just so that I know a little bit more about you, where all have you lived across the state?
I was born here. I lived in Austin from the age of like 2 to 14, and
okay,
then moved back here for high school.
Gotcha. Now, you say here, are you talking about Dallas?
Dallas,
okay,
yes, sorry.
I know.
Well,
it feels
like North Texas Metroplex area.
I understand. You know, people get very specific about their locales.
I know. It's always funny running into another person from like the North Texas area, and then they're like, oh, no, I'm from Dallas. And I go, what part? And then they go, Frisco. And I'm like,
Frisco. Right, not Dallas. I know. I mean, eventually it's going to get so big that that all of Northeast
Everything
Texas
is,
will be the Metroplex.
DFW, something or other. Yeah, totally.
Your mother is an actor, so you were kind of introduced to showbiz pretty early, weren't you?
Totally, yeah. She's a Juilliard-trained actress. And when I was younger, I always hung out under her makeup tables while she was getting ready for shows.
Sure.
And so I showed an interest in all of that pretty early on. So she said, okay, great. Let's go get you an agent then. And at the age of, I think it was 7, I signed with her agent. And we did a lot of work together in student films in Austin as a mother and daughter duo.
Oh, that's cool.
It was super cool. Kind of hilarious. Meant that like any film with a tumultuous mother and daughter relationship was hilarious because we're like, we act like best friends, so yelling at each other is just funny. Like,
now I was gonna try to pull this off as if your mom was not here, and that I was gonna say, I bet she's out there listening somewhere. But now I have to say,
she's right there.
She is here, and I saw you two walking up, and I thought, oh, here comes Tiger. Oh no, she didn't bring her uncle. She brought her friend. So a compliment to mom that you two do look very similar. And anyway, you started out initially kind of training as a dancer, I think, right?
But oh my gosh, yeah, I guess that was my first like arts experience. I was in Irish dance. I was a competitive Irish dancer for
really?
Some reason. That was that's so weird. And
it's a cutthroat industry, the competitive Irish dancing.
It actually is. No,
no,
listen,
I believe you.
Like all of dance, it's wild.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, are they making gestures at each other backstage? Oh, you guys giving them the cutthroat symbol.
You know, I think I was so nervous all the time. But yeah, I did that. I did tap dance. I did ballet. All of that stuff.
I gotcha. And that's not uncommon for a young talented person like you to get kind of pushed into doing. Not pushed into it, but encouraged.
But yeah, totally. Well, just like kind of anything. Just I explored anything within the arts in order to be like, oh, okay, let me find my niche, the thing that speaks to me the most.
So all of this was happening when you were really young, but you ended up kind of leaning more towards acting, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's sort of connected you before long to a legendary director and fellow Texan, Robert Rodriguez. I know I just jumped forward a lot in your life
fine.
There, but
yeah.
How did that unfold with you, you know, getting hooked up with Robert Rodriguez?
I have the this theory that if you were a child actor in Austin during the Spy Kids era, at some point you were in Spy Kids.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, I just have that theory. It's like either that or Boyhood. Like that was those were the two big right. projects. So so I ended up just being an extra in Spy Kids 2, and I was close enough to Antonio Banderas that like Robert looked at me and said, what's your name? And
okay.
I said, my name's Tiger. And he went, I love weird names.
Right.
So we became pen pals after that. I worked on Spy Kids 3, Spy Kids 4, all that stuff. And like, he's been a really great mentor and everything to me throughout all different walks of my career.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
I mean, I know to you, it's like old news. It's like, yeah, I know. I'm friends with Robert Rodriguez. No big deal. But no, I think that's really exciting for most of us to hear.
No, and I mean, it's super exciting just to like watch how his career has exploded. And
right.
then like, I don't know, being able to ask him for advice on things like, am I on the right path? And he's like, everybody's path is different. What are you talking about?
Sure.
But like, I don't know. It's comforting. It's really cool. I love that.
That's so cool. You know, he's got his own network now, of course. He's doing it.
Oh,
has this cable network.
Yeah. El Rey. Oh, my gosh.
I end up going home and watching some of the cheesy reruns that they show of like the A-Team and Xena Warrior Princess. I digress. I'm sorry. That's not what we're here to talk about, but I sometimes get, you know, sidetracked by the important things.
Yes, absolutely. Oh my gosh.
So the Rodriguez Spy Kids series, of course, led to you working behind the scenes on another one of his films, Machete.
Yeah.
I was trying, you got to emphasize that properly.
Machete. Yeah. Oh, gosh.
And you had some music picked as a film score on that, right?
I did. Well, because I at that point, I was looking at colleges, and I was trying to figure out where I wanted to go, what I wanted to do, and I was very interested in film scoring. And so I was pretty much interning at this point.
Okay.
I wasn't doing anything super special. I was mostly shadowing Robert and being the quote-unquote intern.
Sure.
And he went, well, you're interested in film scoring. Let me give you a few rough cuts, and you can just underscore it, have fun, do what you want. And
right.
then I would send them to him, and he'd go, oh, well, these are kind of good. Let me give you some notes. And then I would go and do some notes. And then, like, at the end of it, he went, so let's think about what, like, you did such great work for me. Thank you. Let's think about compensation, yada, yada. And I was like, well, you could use some of my music. And
okay.
he went, actually, that's great. Yeah, let's do that.
That's cool.
So, yeah, it was a really fun experience. Putting, like, underscore under Jessica Alba was wild as a 17-year-old.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it was really fun. So he's like encouraged that. His film Red 11, which was part of the filmmaker challenge that's on El Rey, that reality show that he
okay,
has.
Okay, right.
He made a film along with the other filmmakers on the $7,000 budget and said, hey, why don't you write the end credits music? And I went, oh my God, yes.
Okay.
Thank you. I love that. So I like made something kind of goofy and outrageous to go under it. And it was so fun.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's so cool to be able to branch out and be experimental and
totally.
Show your creativity and,
yeah.
and just kind of go nuts with stuff like that. So
absolutely.
You'll never forget that stuff,
no.
you know, and it's,
oh my gosh.
It just adds to your, like I said, really amazing and diverse list of credits that is, that's just getting started
oh,
in
no.
your young life. So
thanks.
Hey, I'm just telling the truth here, folks, about my guest Tiger Darrow. Your music journey has already taken a ton of twists and turns. I know that you are a trained cellist,
mm-hmm.
but what instrument did you actually start out playing? I'm assuming it wasn't cello.
I started on violin when I was 2. It was a part of the let's figure out what art you like.
Yeah.
And I loved violin, but I really loved cello, and I wanted to play it so badly. And I kept getting told, you know, let's wait till you're older, and then maybe we'll think about getting you a bigger instrument.
I mean, do they have like a kid-sized cello?
They do. And it is the cutest thing
Does
on the planet.
Does it sound weird?
It sounds terrible. Oh. And it's adorable. I love it. My violin was a 30-second size violin. It's tiny. It's
okay.
like 8 inches long or something.
I mean, I've
stupid.
Heard of the world's smallest violin, but I didn't know it actually existed.
It actually exists.
Okay.
Yeah. So I played violin for a little bit, and then I kind of put it aside when I focused on acting, then picked up guitar when I was maybe 12 or 13, my uncle got me a guitar.
Okay.
A baby Taylor.
Gotcha.
Taught me the difference between a major chord and a minor chord by playing a major chord and going, ah, 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 and then a minor chord and going, oh, oh, oh. It was amazing. Best music education I've ever gotten.
That's all you needed.
I have a degree in theory. That was more helpful. Not kidding. That was very helpful. But,
right.
But yeah, so then I switched to guitar and then finally came to cello in middle school when it was a viable option. I could get a full-size cello, never have to buy another cello.
Right. I've got to look into these small cellos.
They're
because
so
that's
cute.
That's amazing, you know?
Yeah.
I know one time somebody brought in a, this is not related at all, but in a way
it
is.
It.
It's a tiny instrument. Brought in what's called a U-bass, which is a ukulele bass.
Yes, I've seen
and it
those.
Sounds like a stand-up bass,
they're
but it's
so
this
weird.
Big.
I know.
It's just... Anyway, I'm sorry.
Things.
We could geek out on weird instruments, I guess, for the rest of the hour. But
yeah.
Let's not do
okay.
that because some people may not be as interested in instruments as we are.
It's a niche moment. Okay.
So you've listed several. Are there any other instruments that you play that we didn't drop there?
I do a lot of production work for other artists as well as myself.
Yeah.
And so I kind of play whatever needs playing.
Okay, so you're one of those. You can just kind of pick it up
I'm not going to sound great, but I will practice the one part that needs playing
right.
until it sounds passable.
Sure. I get it.
And so I'll then I'll throw that in I think cello is really my main instrument.
I dare say it's not featured on as many of your recordings lately, but maybe it is and it's just kind of not as noticeable.
It's buried. I had somebody ask me once, somebody came to do a shoot at my place and they saw my cello and they went, "Do you still play that thing?" And I went, "Yeah, I play every day." And they went, "Oh, so the cello on your record's real." And I went, "Yes."
Well.
He went, "Oh, I thought it was MIDI strings." So.
Oh, ouch.
Yeah, no, it's fine. But that's great. It means it was perfectly in tune.
Well, fair enough. But that's a good point. I guess.
But yeah, no, it's on the latest EP, but it got trimmed a lot. So it's only in like really select sections.
Yeah, I get it. Sidetracking now, but you of course have this and I'm forgetting the site that made it possible, but you have this like stripped down version with the girls playing cellos behind you.
Oh, yes. That was through my distributor, 1RPM. They have this amazing studio with an incredible photographer, Rafa, and we did I made an arrangement for a cello trio of my song Need Me.
Yeah.
And gosh, it's crazy hearing other people play very intricate arrangements of your music.
I bet it is.
Yeah, it was a really fun experience. But yeah, all of those girls, I knew them through various sects of NYU people.
Okay.
And yeah, they're fantastic.
Well, it's a beautiful rendition of the song.
Thank
and a really nice video too. But
thanks.
Before we listen to something from your fourth studio release, Ugh, and sometimes I overemphasize it.
It's fine.
Am I pronouncing that right?
Oh,
how do you
correctly.
Pronounce it?
See, I say Ugh. My manager very diligently says Ugh. He's like, you've really got to go full in. And I'm like, you know, fair. Yeah, sure. So it's either way.
Okay,
yeah.
So either is acceptable. I wanted
totally.
To make sure.
Yeah.
It is titled UGH, if you want to look into this, and you decide how you want to say it, all right? How do you describe this current iteration of your music to potential fans? Because like I've said, you have taken a lot of different directions, but I'm personally loving the direction your music is going in.
Oh,
but
thanks.
Let's say somebody meets you, as I'm sure happens all the time in New York City, and they find out you're a recording artist.
Mm.
And they say, "Well, what kind of music do you do?" is what they'd say to you here when you come back home. So what kind of music do you do?
Oh, gosh. I mean, the broad umbrella is pop. I would say for a long time, it's like Lana Del Rey's kid sister.
Okay.
who listened to a lot of modern pop. So it's still got the cinematic melodrama of Lana Del Rey, but it's got the quirkier elements of like a Billie Eilish or somebody like that who's like, I don't know. It's very hard to describe. It's a little all over the map, to be honest.
And hey, I'm okay with that. I know it is awkward sometimes when you ask artists, "Well, hey, how do you describe yourself?" And someone like yourself is like, I don't know.
It keeps changing too. I don't know. The previous album, I sang the whole thing like I was Britney Spears. I don't know what was going on.
I don't know. Really? Did you?
I did this weird affected very small voice kind of whispery thing. Like, listen, and I still do it sometimes. It's just just, you gotta, I feel like figuring out who you are as an artist is just an ever changing process. So
I'm referring back to your old poster over here, you know who you are. So,
which was like an indie folk record with like weird cinematic string elements to it. Like,
hey, that's, yeah. That was really kind of a taste of what I needed to know about Tiger Darrow's music, because you did all kinds of stuff on there. And
true.
I know sometimes it can be embarrassing in a way to look back at things that you did so long ago, but there's no shame.
It's all part of the journey that you take. And like some of it, yeah, feels embarrassing because you're like, oh, well, I know how to do that better now, but that's fine. Like, great. So then do it better.
It's a learning experience every day, no
absolutely.
Matter how old you get, I can assure you. So, so like I said, you've got this new one out. It's somewhat hard to classify it because you have so many different things on here. But what I personally love is the way you've taken the kind of the disparate sound elements and brought them together on the album. Like it's like that the juxtaposition of your soft voice with the gritty electronic growls on this tune that I wanted to play right now. Good Fight, I think, is a great example of just how, I mean, it's like the yin and the yang that come together and make this perfect circle.
It's kind of what that song in particular is kind of intense. I don't know what happened. I had a collaborator for a lot of the songs on this record, and he sent me that version. And I went, you know what? Yeah, sure. That sounds great.
Really?
I think it's, I want to go hit a punching bag right now. This is awesome. It's a pump up song.
Hey,
so.
Everybody has been there.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? And
it's fine.
You certainly don't have to be in a bad mood to appreciate this one, I don't think, because I know a lot of people were prepared. All right, I'm ready to get in a bad mood.
No, I didn't mean it. It's just in like a get the energy out kind of way.
I have, you know, kind of weird music tastes, I will admit. Most people that listen to this show
eclectic.
Probably agree.
There's no such thing as weird, just
I
eclectic.
Really like this tune. Nice. This one I could play on repeat, so, but I'm only going to play it once, so pay attention now.
Backyard brawl with the neighborhood boys. Cause Tommy's little brother talks a lot of noise. And daddy's in a lawn chair with six pack and cigarettes, saying go, go get him, baby, go get him. Hit like a girl, those red lips and pearls, gonna make you sting like a honeybee. So go, go get him, baby, go get him. Go, go get him, baby, go get him. Everything is clearer in hindsight. You never back down from a good fight.
There definitely was cello in that recording, so you just have to really kind of be listening through all the multiple layers and so many layers to peel through on that new tune called Good Fight. It's by Tiger Darrow. It's on the EP UGH, UGH, just so you know you're hearing me right.
Ugh.
We've all been there, and sometimes you know, putting out a release like this will help you, you know, kind of move on in your life. And I assume that's, you know, the title may just kind of imply to some trying to move on and take the next step.
Yeah,
that's perfectly cool, because sometimes people get stuck in a rut. But
yeah.
When you can do something artistic like this, I assume that really helps.
I use it as journaling. I mean, like a lot of the things that I write, some of it is character stuff. Some of it's I create an entity and write a story for that person. But a lot of it really is just my way of like, okay, I'm going to process something now, and I don't journal, so I'm going to write a series of songs and that kind of thing. So
absolutely. Well, yeah. like I was describing beforehand, just not many artists can take the two totally different sides like you did on that song, which starts out with your beautiful melodic voice, you know, kind of doing the soft singing, and then all of a sudden it just explodes in your face with this like almost dubstep drop.
Almost dubstep, yeah.
Is that not specific enough?
I'm gonna add that to my list of like genres. Almost dubstep.
Hey, I think it works.
Yeah, it does. It totally does.
If you need to credit me on that, feel free. I'll take
copyright,
responsibility.
Trademark.
Tiger Darrow is with me here back in her home state of Texas to play the Kessler on Sunday night, but here in studio at KETR right now. I wanted to commend you on the series of videos that have been released for the songs on this new EP, because for multiple reasons, I mean, a lot of people don't even do videos anymore. There was a time. Mm-hmm. I know you're a young woman, but I assume you're old enough to remember when you could see music videos on TV.
Totally, yeah.
But it's not something you can do anymore. Mm-mm. It's you got to go online to seek this stuff out.
Exactly, yeah.
But even then, you just don't see that many music videos anymore. So I assume that you met some talented folks in videography and the like that helped out on this stuff while you're up there in New York.
Yeah. I have many photographer friends. The woman who helped me with Tears and Chocolate, she was a photographer who I met, who I'd done several shoots with, and then she started getting into music video directing. She actually was in the music video. She was one of the dancers in a music video for Tiger and Man, the duo that I had for a while.
Okay, gotcha.
So that's where I originally met her.
I see.
Yeah, and then it turned into, like, oh, she takes photos as well. This is amazing. Like, let's have an all-female crew for the Tears and Chocolate video.
Okay.
And then, just through, like, various different bizarre walks of life throughout New York, I feel like everybody just gets connected to everybody in some bizarre way. And it's, but it's wonderful. Like, there's such a community. So it's weird, but awesome.
That's not the first time I've heard that. Yeah. There are other artists from Texas that kind of like to do what you do and then split their time between Texas and New York City.
Yeah, totally.
And I've heard the same thing from when I did an interview with Phoebe Hunt is a gal out of Austin.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know Phoebe or not, but who knows? Maybe you'll run into her up there. It's a small town, you know, New York City. So
it's so small. Teeny tiny. Oh, my gosh.
I'm sure you'll see each other. But I understand she likes to spend time up there, but she was saying the same thing, basically, that it's just this amazing tight-knit community of all these creative folks.
Yeah, everybody knows everybody. There's somebody who can do something that you're looking for at all times. So it's fantastic. Like, anytime you need help, you just send out a beacon and somebody comes and you're like, oh, sick, thanks.
Well, people, if they want to, obviously this is radio, so I can't do justice to the videos that I was talking about, but they can seek these out. They can probably find them like linked from your site, can't they?
Yeah.
What is that site?
TigerDarrow.com.
It's pretty simple. D-A-R-R-O-W is how you spell Darrow, and I don't think you need help with Tiger, so just seek that out if you want to. There are a bunch of videos. Some of them are racy, but none of them are lewd. I think I would put it that way. Is that fair?
Thank you.
I did. Is that offensive to say?
No, that's so well put. I just, oh my gosh, yeah.
Well, don't get embarrassed now.
No,
I mean,
no, there's no. It's already been up. It's fine. Like, we're ready. It's the whole world's gonna see my butt at some point. Like, I just.
Hey, you did this on your own. All in the name of art.
I did. You know, it's fine. I'm thrilled with it. I honestly feel like, though, that's a whole intellectual, heady discussion
about how the
human form is art and it needs to be desexualized and everything. But, you know, it's a part of the movie. Anyway, I am talking myself into a hole. I'm going to stop.
I was kicking back and letting you go. But I have had to sort of cover my screen when I was doing research for the Tiger Darrow interview. It's like, look, y'all, I'm just watching the music videos
I had somebody tell me recently who, he's one of my friends in New York. I played cello for him when I was still in school. And so he calls himself like my uncle or older brother or whatever. And he went, yeah, it's a little confusing now because I keep trying to show my girlfriend your videos and it doesn't look right. I can't be like, oh, she's like my sister. So it's been an interesting shift in tone.
Well, you know. I mean, everybody's just got to get over it, all right?
Yeah, you know? That's what I'm saying. Listen, guys, come on. It's 2019.
Grow up.
Someday when we say goodbye, promise we won't cry. Cause when it rains, it'll come down diamonds on high. We'll be the rulers of the sky.
It's been a few years, but I would be remiss if I didn't mention that some people savvy internet viewers might have even seen you portraying Snow White in a viral video sensation from a couple of years ago.
Yeah, that still comes out sometimes.
Really?
I used to babysit for a while too, and when the kids who I babysat put two and two together, every time I'd pick them up from school, they'd start singing all of those musical songs at me. Like I'd pick them up, ask them how their day went, and they'd go, "Just be a hipster, an individual." I'm like, oh my God, I'm never going to live this down. It's fine. Like, I love it. And then I ended up loving Snow White so much.
Well, okay, like, good.
More than I did when I was a child. So it's
just
great.
For that, you know, that one person out there who didn't see it, can you describe what it is we're talking about here?
Yes, of course. It is this channel called AV Byte. Byte spelled like computer byte.
Right, B-Y-T-E.
They did a series of YouTube musicals that covered various pop culture topics. And at one point they had a breakthrough with the whole hipster Disney princess thing that happened on Tumblr, I guess.
Okay.
It like originated on Tumblr. It was pictures of Disney princesses wearing like hipster glasses with tattoos.
Yes.
And one of my friends from NYU is one of the brothers. And he said, "Tiger, you've got to play Snow White. Like, please come play Snow White." And me thinking like, oh, hipster Snow White, I can stay the same crusty, cynical person I am. And he went, no, you have to be a proper princess. And I went, oh, shoot. Okay. So we go in and I'm like singing with the most vibrato that I can muster and that whole thing. And then it ended up being really fun, more fun than I anticipated. And we did several. We did one of, like, that featured Elsa from Frozen.
Yes.
About how you don't need a man to get by and that whole thing. And it was actually pretty great. I'm not going to lie.
That's good. It's awesome. And that still may pop up, you know, on people's feeds from time to time. And so if you ever do come across the hipster Disney princesses, keep an eye open for Snow White, because that is Texas' own Tiger Darrow.
Hey.
So as your website describes you as a Texpat, which I love, tell me some of the things that you miss about Texas when you're up in New York City.
Oh, my gosh. Let's see. The friendliness is definitely something that you don't get. Yeah, I mean, people in New York are plenty friendly, but they're going to give you your space first, because everybody assumes that you don't want to talk. Asterisk, scroll down, unless you have a dog on the subway.
Oh, okay.
Which I do a lot.
That's like an open invitation.
Yeah, people look at the dog and they're like, oh, that must be a really friendly person. And I'm like, no, I have the dog because I'm not a friend. I'm just kidding. Anyway, I miss the friendliness of like going into a store and asking, how are you? How's your day? And then it's a conversation, which is kind of nice.
Yeah, right. Those are sometimes okay.
Yeah. Man, we got real good barbecue here. There's some spots in Brooklyn that do it right.
Really?
Yeah, I've gone to a couple places that are pretty good, but it's I just, something about going to a gas station to get Dickies here is so charming and wonderful to me. And you don't get that in New York.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also miss driving and wildflowers a lot. Both of those things.
Because driving, most people don't do there, of course.
Yeah, no, most people don't drive. Most people don't even have licenses.
Right.
It's like you're the savior of the friend group if you all want to go upstate somewhere.
Oh, yeah, you've got that one friend who has a license or a car.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, my gosh. Having a car in New York, are you kidding?
I assume nature, you would have to miss that.
I miss nature
to a certain
so
extent.
Much. Honestly, it's just a tree on the block. Are you kidding? That's like, I get excited. I walk past a house, like a brownstone that's got flowers out front, and I get weepy. Like, I miss that. I mean, like, the parks are cool. The parks are great, but it's forced nature.
What I'm picking up is that you're very emotional. Apparently,
every
time you see a plant, you just start bawling. So
absolutely. Plants, babies, dogs.
It must have been a weep fest on the way out here today, then.
I got misty.
There are some tissue over there. If you notice any plants out the window, I just want you to try to keep it under control.
I know. I'll work on it.
So, hey, listen, while you're here, Tiger Darrow, we always like to ask our guests if you would be willing to kind of open up about the ways that you appreciate public radio. Tell us what you like about what we do and why people should support what we do, because I decided enough about you, talk about us.
Yes. No, I'm far more comfortable. Okay. Public radio is interested in what's happening with the local scene. It's so wonderful to be able to reach out to a public radio station and actually have a conversation with somebody and not just go and like submit an online form and be like, oh my gosh, I appreciate your station, would love to come check. Like, no, it's you speak to an actual person, in this case, you. I corresponded with you.
Right.
I feel like the actual surrounding area is being heard and appreciated. And I think that's so important to be able to support local artists and local businesses and all of that. We need somebody on our team. So,
right.
So thank you.
If you feel moved by Tiger Darrow's testimony, you can always go to our site right now, ketr.org, and click donate, because this is the only station here in Northeast Texas that would let you know Tiger Darrow even exists, much less play her music. And that's,
yay,
a sad state, because you should be heard much more.
Thank you.
But I'm doing what I can to kind of bring a little, if you will, sort of a taste of Austin to Northeast Texas here. And I know that we get into stuff that's in a lot of people's ears pretty freaky, but I'm okay with that, because
freaky's good. We all need more freaky.
There's no way you can really answer this, but do you think you're going to stay in New York? Or do you think you'll ever move back here?
I moved there in 2011. It has been 8 years.
That's a long time.
Yeah. Once you hit 10, you're considered a New Yorker.
Oh, so. Okay. Wow. It takes 10.
It takes 10, apparently.
Because we let them in much quicker down here.
That's what I'm saying. We're nicer here.
When New Yorkers move here, it's like not even a year.
Like,
and it's
welcome. Howdy. Let me get you set up with some barbecue sauce.
Exactly.
It takes 10 years to be a New Yorker, and apparently I'm almost there.
So close.
May as well stick it out.
Okay.
I don't know. I love being able to travel around, so I think I might call New York home base, but move around a lot.
I gotcha.
It gets you down a little bit. The city wears you down, so you have to be able to like come home to Texas or go to LA and write for a while.
Sure.
So I think at least at this particular point in my life, it's still home base.
I understand. I'm not going to hold you to this. When I talk to you the next time, I'm not going to be like, all right, let's go to the tape.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I am aggressively Texan in New York.
Are you?
I've got the New York or the Texas mugs. I think I said y'all in an email 3 times once, and the person I was meeting up with expected a really thick accent. Like, they're like, what do you mean y'all?
We don't even notice it when we say that.
No, never. Absolutely. But I didn't think of it. I just wrote it in as many times as I would have said it.
Neither one of us speaks with a particularly thick Texas accent, but I think we're both guilty of dropping y'all left and right.
Absolutely. So. Although we don't have a thick accent to each other. I spoke to my boyfriend who's from Philly last night, and he was like, your voice is so different right
really?
Now. Yeah. I was like, what? You haven't even heard. Like,
yeah.
What do you mean?
People can pick up on it, that things that we definitely don't notice.
Oh, so. Totally. Yeah, absolutely.
And yeah, we definitely are a product of our environment. So
just
being exposed,
for
I'm sure,
sure oh, yeah.
is going to bring out a little bit of that twang. But I'm not hearing it. But
okay, good. Well, not good. I mean, whatever. I'll take an accent.
I was going to say, other than facing, the razzing from your friends back in New York, it's perfectly fine. I did want to play one more tune from the Ugg EP, mm-hmm. which is an EP called Ugg. When I say the Ugg EP, I don't know why. I'm having troubles with this.
I love it. I'm sorry. I love that you're having trouble with
this. This is why you named it that.
It is.
So that no DJ could ever do this easily.
I love it so much.
It's an EP by Tiger Darrow. It is titled UGH. I call it Ugg. She calls it Ugg. You call it whatever you want. I call it good stuff on here, though. I wanted to play another tune that's pretty heavy off the record called Bones. Mm-hmm. This is one that you have a video out for. Mm-hmm. A really cool song, and if you want to seek out the video, it's beautifully done, kind of an example of the director work that you have done on this and the acting work as you act in, I guess, lip sync in the video. But
I sing all my stuff.
It's the whole package kind of coming together.
Yeah. Last night I slept on the couch and I came home. I know you wouldn't care if you woke up alone. You don't like the smell of cigarettes on my breath,
but I'm not scared to be a little closer to death. If I could try harder, I'd be made of stone. And every time I kiss you, I'm breaking all your bones. Breaking all your bones, breaking all your bones. Every time I kiss you, I'm breaking all your bones.
I mentioned this gig at the Kessler. I wanted to talk a little bit about this because we've just been hearing, you know, these recordings from the UGG EP. Mm-hmm. I can't say it with a straight face
from
now.
From the UGG EP. I love it.
But obviously, these are like, you know, beautifully and masterfully produced with all these different layers of stuff. Mm-hmm. But, you know, performing these live is going to be a little bit of a different thing, right, than what you hear on the record. Yeah. So how are you handling this live show exactly?
So I have my drummer from New York, Josh Bailey. He's everybody in our music community calls him Dad because he's just the solid guy who, like, learns everything, has ideas. He's the best. So he's kind of helped me figure out what we can supplement with drums, cello, and I'm having Adam Pickerel play keyboards for me. He's a local guy. He's fantastic. He played on St. Vincent's record, Digital Witness.
Oh, nice.
And with Nelly Furtado, like, I trust him with my life. So we're going to have him do synth bass and keys, and then Josh is going to play drums, and then I'll play cello and sing.
Nice.
And we have, like, a little bit of supplement kind of, we have mild tracks that will be with it.
I gotcha.
But they're mild.
Yeah, yeah. No, I get it.
So, but just to, like, kind of fill things in where there might be a little bit of air where, like, if you hear a synth pad, I mean, Pickerel's only got two hands, so he's going to play keys here and synth bass over here.
All right, yeah.
But yeah, it'll be a little bit of a different arrangement, but it'll still sound, you know, complimentary to the
record. No, it's fine. It's absolutely. I think people are in for a, you know, a unique experience when they see somebody live. They don't want to just hear you singing over the track.
That's karaoke. Right. At that point, that's just a karaoke track. But yeah.
There you go. There's another blurb from Matt Minky. Tiger Darrow Live, it's not karaoke.
It's not karaoke. Thank God.
Right.
I love it.
Who are you sharing the stage with?
With Claire Morales. I believe she's playing solo for this one, so that'll be really fun. She posted something today about it's going to get emotional, and I was like, yes! Let's all be weepy by the end of the show. And my friend Bonomo is coming down from New York.
Awesome.
Yeah, he's fantastic too. He's I think I called his music singer-songwriter with, like, a jazz influence.
Okay.
I think it's an interesting mix of people. I think the genres are complementary but quite different. So the song, it's, like, very songwriting based stuff. So
that's great.
Lots of stories to tell.
Oh, and that's cool.
Emotions to feel.
I think music fans always appreciate the stories in
Absolutely.
Between the songs. So.
Yeah.
Very cool. So that is going to be Sunday night in Dallas at the Kessler. You can find out more about that gig and any of her other gigs, which don't tend to be closer to home here. This is a rarity back home in Texas.
Yeah.
But if you want to find out more, you can always go and find out more on Tiger Darrow's site, which is tigerdarrow.com. I just got to quickly say thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Come back anytime you're in Texas. And this has really been an interview for the ages. I appreciate you coming
in.
Thank
you. Thanks for having me.
An American dream.